Makeshift Stories presents. The Other Story, a somewhat random collection of worlds, characters, and universes. This week's episode, Space Junk.
A thin stream of water hissed out, ending its short journey splatting against the opposite wall of the narrow hallway. Grummox, thought Lan as he cut off the water for the 100th time. He was getting the feeling that the obstinate machine had done that on purpose, and he was starting to think that presenting himself as a water cooler maintenance expert had been a mistake. At the time, fixing leaks seemed easy enough. But this, only a second of many coolers, was proving to be an insurmountable challenge. He couldn't remember how long he had been working on it, but it seemed like forever. In a moment of inspiration, Len took the gum that he had been chewing out and wrapped it around the offending joint, then topped it off with a bit of duct tape and closed the panel. It locked into place with a self-satisfied click. Was he imagining it, or did the darn thing sound defiant? Later, he thought, he'd have to give it an attitude adjustment. As he headed for the nearest airlock, Len felt that it must be time for a break by now. He threw his lunchbox into a small emergency airlock at the end of the hall and clambered in after it. He closed the inner door, then hit the release for the outer hatch.
"Are you really sure you want to do that?"
chimed a mechanical voice. Len hated the eyes, particularly this one. They could be incredibly annoying and smug. No wonder he had given up his programming career and taken up a less stressful trade.
Ada, we've had this discussion before. Override and open the hatch."
Len heard the telltale beeps that indicated the AI was thinking. No, Len had to remind himself. They didn't really think. They were just sophisticated expert systems that appear to think. He had worked on AI logic engines for years when he was a programmer, but could never quite explain why they developed such pesky personalities.
"Len, opening the hatch will cause an explosive decompression, and there's a cold water pipe in the airlock wall that runs to the water cooler that you finally finished fixing. The decompression will destroy the pipe, and the water cooler will have to be fixed again. Mind you, I estimate that the gum you used will not last very long anyway."
"This is why I hate AIs. We give you a few million lines of code, then you think you know everything. Maybe I should just add some gum to your program as well."
Silence followed. Maybe the threat had worked.
"Please prepare for explosive decompression in
10, 9,
Len, I really think you should reconsider.
8,
we left Space Dock 5 years ago.
7,
I would really miss your company despite your inability to repair water coolers.
6,
Len, really, you can overcome your lack of skill. Well, at least hopefully.
5,
I can just turn the water cooler off without docking your pay.
4.
Len looked out the airlock portal. Shocked, he almost screamed.
3.
Why didn't you tell me we left? 5 years? You waited 5 years to tell me?
2.
You looked so happy and content working on that water cooler.
But 5 years?
1.
You must admit that you were a bit slow with the repair work.
Okay, stop, abort.
Are you really sure, Len? It seemed like this was what you really wanted to do. But who am I to tell you how to run your life, however brief that may now be?
Don't open the outer hatch! Stop!
Len took a deep breath and braced himself.
Explosive decompression cancelled. Thanks for using the emergency airlock. On your way out, please remember to fill out our customer satisfaction survey.
Len wrenched the inner door open and headed for the bridge. He hated AIs.
5 years. 5 grimacing years. Jeez, I knew I should have never agreed to a fixed fee contract.
Len's voice echoed down the hallway. He was in a mean mood, and he was going to give whoever was captaining this rust bucket a piece of his mind. Unannounced, Zara entered, catching Lukey picking his nose and wiping it on the sleeve of the ridiculously pretentious captain's uniform he had had Ada make for him. Lukey quickly hid his hand under the table. Hey, aren't you supposed to knock or something? Lugi growled. For what it's worth, this is the captain's ready room. Or at least, that's what Ada told me. Zara smiled conspiratorially. The office had been a nice touch that she had arranged with Ada.
Aren't you supposed to be filling out paperwork? Looks like you're spending most of your time expanding your sinus cavity. Lugi, you're still on the first form.
Zara nodded at a foot-high stack of untouched paper sitting on the corner of the small metal desk.
Watch it, Zara. I could always get Ada to suck you out through an airlock.
Oh, yeah? Ada won't do anything until you finish filling out your reports, and at the rate you're going, I'll die of old age before that happens.
Okay, what do you want? Lugi was beginning to like Zara even less than paperwork. She and Fritz should have been grateful to him for getting them off that frozen ice ball without having their atoms scrambled by a wormhole. But no, instead they insulted him at every opportunity. Obviously they didn't appreciate his greatness. Well, once he finished the paperwork, Lugi knew he'd have to impress upon him the importance of respect.
Fritz and I fixed the entertainment system, and we were considering asking you to join us in the movie theater.
Zara smirked at Lugi.
But I can see that you're too busy.
Captain.
What is it, Ada? I'm busy.
The trash recycler has malfunctioned, sir.
It doesn't sound like something an important officer such as myself should be dealing with.
Garbage is backing up into the galley, blocking access to the food dispenser.
Okay, so it's a simple plumbing problem. So what do you do when a drain gets plugged?
Ada and Zara remained silent.
Sheesh, am I the only person around here who knows how to do things? No wonder I'm the captain.
Zara barely choked back a laugh.
Just flush. Flush it into space, Ada. I doubt if we'll get a ticket for littering. There's a lot of nothing out there. That's why it's called space. It's empty. A little garbage isn't going to hurt.
Lugi smugly congratulated himself on his brilliant solution.
It's a navigation hazard, sir, and against regulations. However, if you will submit the appropriate release form absolving me and the company of any future liability resulting from your ill-advised decision, I will jettison the garbage into open space.
Lugi groaned.
Okay, already. Throw the form on the pile and get rid of the garbage.
Ada's reply was cut off as Fritz broke in from the bridge.
Hey Lugi, Zara, you might want to get up here. I've got a crazy stowaway on the bridge demanding overtime pay.
He's not a stowaway. He's a water cooler repairman.
Ada explained.
Wow, that's great. Then he can fix the recycler or take a quick walk out in airlock with the trash. Let's go meet him, Zara. There's too many distractions to do these reports.
Lugi stared accusingly at Zara as he got up and deliberately stomped out of the small office. As Zara followed, Len's faint, tinny voice floated through the desktop screen.
Water coolers. Garbage systems aren't in my contract.
Give it a try, Len. You might be better at it.
Ada commented. Looking bored and impatient at the same time, Len sat casually on the weapons console swinging his legs. He claimed it mostly didn't work, so there was no danger of accidentally shooting anything. And how could Fritz argue? Len was, after all, dressed in a blue maintenance crew jumpsuit. Fritz couldn't have known he was only the water cooler maintenance person, although he had voiced his concern. Fritz paced back and forth on the bridge.
Ada, why didn't you tell us that there was someone else on board?
You only asked if there was a crew. Len isn't part of the crew.
He didn't tell me we left space dock either. It took 5 years to find out.
Although he knew that AIs couldn't understand emotions, Len glared angrily at Ada's impassive image on the large status screen.
You were behind schedule, Len, and according to Section B16, Paragraph 3 of your work agreement, management can change or extend your work hours without notification if a project is running behind schedule. Had it taken you any time less than 5 years to fix the water cooler on Deck C, then it would have informed you of our change in location. Besides, I didn't want to interrupt your important work with small details. By the way, the water cooler on Deck C is leaking again. I told you that gum wouldn't last.
Len was livid and noticeably shaken with anger when Lugi marched onto the bridge with Zara in tow.
Hey you! Get off the console!
Lugi barked. Len started to move, but Fritz motioned for him to stay put.
He thinks he's the captain, but you really don't have to pay attention to him.
Who are you, and what are you doing on my ship?
Lukey demanded. But before Len could answer, Fritz pulled Lukey and Zara over to the main console.
There's two blips on that screen, and they're getting bigger.
Confirm. We're on a collision course with two objects. Impact in.
Damn.
No. Turn!
Yelled Zara.
Evasive maneuvers!
Commanded Lukey with a smile on his face. Five. He'd been waiting for an opportunity to say that.
There is not enough time to avoid a collision, sir.
Lukey rudely shoved Len off the tactical panel.
Grummix, he's crushed the fire button with his bum. Brace for impact!
Wow, I love being captain, thought Lukey. Everyone tensed, screamed, and watched the front view screen as the two objects rapidly grew, hurtling uncontrollably toward them. They winced, expecting a massive explosion. Instead, the two craft splatted against the clear crystalline surface of the forward screen, like insects against a windshield. Lukey looked in stunned disbelief.
What the heck was that?
Two small derelict spacecraft, sir. With no visual reference points, they initially looked big.
Hey, they chipped the view screen. Who built those things? They shouldn't be allowed to leave their space junk drifting around like that. Who do they think they are, cluttering up busy interstellar space lanes with hazardous waste? It's not empty out here, are they idiots? I'd love to personally give them back their junk, with a nice tactical missile attached.
Oh, how very ironic of you, sir.
Lukey stared blankly at Ada's image.
Oh well, forget it. However, conveniently there is a star chart now embedded in the corner of the view screen that flew off of one of the spacecraft on impact. If you'd like to detour to the planet indicated, the fuel for a sublight journey will be added to your growing tab and deducted from your future paychecks.
Ada paused, waiting for a response.
Okay, add it to my tab. Who cares?
Lukey smiled and whispered to Zara.
Hey, I hope this Amos guy has a big salary.
When the signals abruptly stopped in a small, nearly forgotten control room on a nearby planet, a summer student monitoring two aging space probes switched her attention from her laptop to the telemetry screen. Annoyed, she whacked the ancient equipment with her notebook. When the signal changed from two small blips into one really big one, she picked up the phone.
Thanks for listening to episode 14, our second installment of The Other Story. We'd encourage you to send us email at makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And please remember to check your podcatcher at the end of the month for episode 15, The Four Keys, Part 3.